Morning. Chaplain Molstead always asked me to speak once a year about the painting. So I was the artist of the painting, and so that's why I get this privilege. I teach art history here at Bethany, and the first day of every class I ask, what is the greatest work of art you have ever seen in person? And there is a right answer, of course. I mean, I want you to say my painting. And it might even help your grade eventually. But I do ask it every time. Those of you who have taken that class know that that's true. And you might say, why do we have art hanging in the chapel anyway? The chapel is a worship space, and the artwork designates that worship space. And for an artist, for me to do this, of course, it's the chance of a lifetime. And the idea that I could actually work here and be asked to do the chapel painting is kind of a miracle in its own right. I also get to become part of a tradition that's been around since Constantine made Christianity the religion of the empire. And so that's challenging, scary. But I was, excited to accept that challenge. There's a difficulty matching what everyone thinks or how they imagine the scene. There's a lot of critics. Everyone is a critic about how you paint Jesus. Everyone, every Christian is a critic, and they should be. And he's been depicted in all ages, all nationality, all countries since the 4th century. So you're really in kind of an epic company there, trying to match or become part of it. The chapel is set off by the altarpiece, and the chapel is part of your college home at Bethany. And Bethany was the home of Mary and Martha. And so that is why when it's closed, it's the school motto, which is the one thing needful. The painting has been installed since 1996, so it's already 20 years since we put this up. It's 20 years. I painted it the year before, so it's really 21 years old, this painting. So you could say that a generation of Bethany students have already experienced the painting or have, come to chapel and seen it. And as an artist, you want your painting to last, to outlast you and to outlast your own generation. But we could say a generation of Bethany students have already experienced it. But the closed altarpiece is about lame excuses, or you could say even good excuses are bad compared to taking the opportunity to listen to God's word. It's the scene in the home of Mary and Martha wanted to do something good. Martha wanted to do the right thing. She wanted to do what she was taught to do when you have guests in your home. What do you imagine you do? Well, you have a party, of people listening to a speaker, you prepare lunch for them. So she was going to do what she was supposed to do and provide food for her guests. But then she notices her sister isn't helping. And she puts it on Jesus even. It's so embarrassing. Jesus, don't you care that my sister isn't helping me? Don't you care? It's like, does she remember who she's even talking to? It's like a kid. It's like when you're a kid and your sibling is getting away with it and you tell on them. You tell the parents. And Jesus, of course, says, he didn't say this, but let's say he said, even a good excuse is bad. She chose the one thing needful, and I'm not going to take it from her, is what he said. But it shows us that there are no good excuses for not taking the opportunity to hear God's word. Now, Jesus also said, you're worried about many things. And, I'm worried about many things, and I know you're worried about many things. And what Jesus is telling us is, there is one thing that you need, and you don't need to worry about all those other things. And you might say, I'd certainly come to chapel, or I'd certainly take every opportunity if Jesus was actually here. And then you think about that for a while. Well, Jesus is actually here. And so that opportunity isn't always taken. I did have student models for the people. I worked from life at the time. I mean, I still work from life. I like to see what I paint. So I had to get costumes from our costume people in the theater, Esther Merseth. And I asked students to pose. I found, look around campus. Oh, yeah, you look like Martha. You look like Mary. But the best legendary story about the altarpiece, which I know many of you have heard, but it's still a good one, even if you've heard it more than once, is I like to work from life, and I need a model. I need someone to pose for Jesus. Like, who can I get to pose for Jesus? And so Bethany hosted a regional art show, and a lot of people from the community came. It was packed full of people, and I saw one of the visitors, and I thought, wow, that guy looks strikingly familiar. He had a long hair and a big beard, and he seemed to have the right stature, and I actually went up to him, and I said, hey, would you ever be interested in posing for a painting? And he said, sure. I said, you would be tied to a cross. And he said, oh, okay. And so when I found out more about him, it turned out that he was a 33-year-old carpenter. And I thought, I think he's the right model. You know, I think he's the guy. 17 years later, a man showed up in my office, and he said, I'm Jesus. And I was like, what, really? And it turned out to be the model. He came back 17 years later because he wanted to prove to his family that he was Jesus once. He's not affiliated with us. He doesn't come to church here. So I did turn over some pictures to him. But the images from the altar open now constitute some of the great images in the history of Western culture and, of course, the history of Christianity. It is... I wanted to represent the birth of Christ as the flight into Egypt, and that would be he's being persecuted as a baby. They want to kill him as a baby. And so his parents are they're trying to leave. They're leaving Nazareth to go to Egypt to escape Herod. And then the middle one is, of course, the crucifixion, and the right side is the resurrection. And so these are key in the history of our faith. So when we get back to, why should we listen to God's word, you say? What has he ever done for us? So when you look at it, again, it's like, what were you worried about? What were the big concerns? What kept you from listening to God's word? Because of what? What did he do for you? And is Jesus going to be there? Is that why you'd go? Would you only go if Jesus was going to be here? I mean, wouldn't it be cool if they put out an announcement that says, Jesus is going to be in chapel today? Do you think everyone would come? I mean, I'd come. I'd definitely come. But how often we don't take that opportunity because Jesus is here in chapel today. Some of the still life objects in the painting are disguised symbolism. That was clear in Gothic and Renaissance era that I just wanted to add. It's like the apple and the lamp, the nails, the skull. The skull is one of the oddest ones because there's a couple different interpretations, but the most common one is that the skull represents original sin and Adam, the death of Adam, and Christ's power over original sin, washing those sins away. The awkward thing about having a skull at the base is the sight line sometimes for wedding pictures. You know, it's just like right over the bride's head, you have a skull. But symbolically, it's in all the old paintings and icons, and it goes way back to the Byzantine era. I also portrayed it at dawn and dusk and at the darkness of the crucifixion. So I wanted it to have this universal, timeless quality that also reflected the time of day. So when you leave Bethany, these paintings are part of your experience and part of your memory. And hopefully when you come back to visit or to work here, as some of you will, these paintings will remind you of who you are right now. You know, you're 19 or 20 years old. You're full of hope, energy, optimism. So when you come back, that same feeling will come back. You'll be 19 years old again when you come back to see these. And you'll feel like you do right now. And I think that's one of the things that art can do if you're sensitive to it. It will also remind you that how lame excuses are, probably, if you can remember this day. Even good excuses are lame. So is it the greatest art you've ever seen? Probably not. But it does depict the greatest acts that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. So please take the opportunity to hear his word. And now we'll sing hymn 497.